In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Brothers and sisters, with Scripture there are very many understandings to be had. It's not just the story in front of you. There is a mystical meaning, sometimes several mystical meanings. Sometimes we have dogma that's presented plainly. Other times we have narratives, such as today, which gives us a way to live. It gives us a pattern for how to live our life. There's no actual dogma explicitly stated in the gospel today. It is about how our Lord came into the world and how he dealt with evil, Herod, who wanted to kill him, and how Joseph and Mary obeyed the Lord and protected Jesus by going to Egypt. This is a pattern for us. You have to read the scripture and see these patterns of how to live. Now, ask yourself this question. Does your life feel completely in order? Completely in control? Do you always know what to do? Do you always feel the will of God? Are you always sure of what His will is? We should be. This is the normal Christian life. To know the will of God. To follow it. To be appraised of things as they happen. Perhaps there's something we don't understand, but then God in His way, that sometimes we don't even know how, shows us the way, shows us what is true, shows us the direction we should head. We see this in the life of Joseph. Even before our Lord was born, when Mary was with child by the Holy Spirit, he, like any normal man, would think, my betrothed is pregnant. She must have been with another man. And in his mercy, he didn't want to have her submitted to the harshness of the law, which would be death by stoning. So the scripture says he wanted to put her away privately, just not marry her and just let her go with God. But of course, an angel appeared in a dream to him and told him the truth of the matter. Now, the reason why the angel could appear to Joseph is because he was a righteous man who would understand such things. It should be with us too. I'm not saying that you should be looking for God or angels or saints to appear to you in dreams. In fact, if they do, you should question such things because we're not holy. But the normal Christian way of life should be that we know the will of God. That we're sure of it, and that we follow it. And not only knowing the will of God, because in a general sense, I suppose we could all say we know the will of God, right? He wills that all be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. But that's a general idea. Let's make it more specific. It has to be about what does he want you to do today? How does he want you to order your life? How should you live? What should you think? What should you value? And also, we have this affliction, which is it seems to be a modern-day affliction, that now is just medicated or other things are done to obliterate it. It never goes away. This anxiety that is in the air we breathe, it seems. Anxiety is when you don't have good belief, when you have unbelief in God. That's anxiety. Now, one could say that there are sometimes biological causes and such, but when we just have this diffuse anxiety about what shall we do? What about our job? What about this? What about that? That's from lack of belief, always, always. Joseph didn't have that anxiety. He thought to do something, and the Lord corrected him in a dream, and so he did what the Lord said. So it should be with us. See, this is a pattern for how we should live, for how we should, what we should aim for. This can only happen, though, if your life is purposeful. We also live in an age where we have time wasters galore everywhere. It's not like it was in the old days, shall we say. And the old days are not so long ago. Let's say perhaps before television, or even if you want to say before radio. Now we have so much that can take up our time without any fruit from it whatsoever. So you must live a life with purpose. Just because we have available to us entertainment 24 hours a day, information 24 hours a day, food at any time we wish, doesn't mean we should avail ourselves of it. The purpose of our life is to know God. Do you live with purpose? Joseph did. Mary did. That's why it was so easy for them to know the will of God and to do it. Joseph, at first for being able to know that he should be with Mary and not abandon her even though she was pregnant because the pregnancy was of the Holy Spirit. And then later, after the young child was born, after a period of time, the wise men came and then they left and they were warned that Herod wanted to kill the child and told them to go to Egypt. So they did what they were told. It might seem, okay, they had a dream. If I had a dream, I'd do what God told me to do too. But it's not so simple as that. You have to be living in such a way that you are open to the will of God. I really think our greatest sins that we often fail to confess are that we forget God, we pray very little, we don't have that much purpose during the day. We get wrapped up in all the things we do, and we forget about God. Let's be honest with one another. This happens all the time. How many times have you, at the end of the day, remembered that you did not pray? Or how many times have you cut your prayer short because you've got this to do or that to do, or you're tired, or whatever? The purpose of our life is to know the will of God, to do it, to be filled with Him. Our life should play out just as this gospel speaks about. Not in the particulars, by no means. But in that God will make His will manifest to you. Do you know that? Do you feel that? Are you sure of it? Or are you sometimes floundering, not knowing what to do? If you flounder, then what are you going to do about it? You're not going to find out about the will of God on the couch. You're going to find out about the will of God by praying. Not just a little tiny bit before you run out the door and go to work, but by praying with attention, with desire. Maybe you're not very good at prayer. Maybe you get bored with your prayers. Maybe you, when you pray, you're not really thinking of the prayer so much. Your mind goes this way and that way, just like the wind. All right? How are you going to get better? By not praying? By not going through those troubles? Well, that doesn't make any sense. You're going to get better by forcing yourself to pray. Perhaps sometimes, you know, you can pray something different. Some people try to pray one prayer, you know, one set of prayers all the time, and they find it's difficult. Well, maybe there's something else that touches you. The Psalter, the Gospels, the certain prayers of the Fathers, the Jesus Prayer. What's important is that you pray and seek God's face. How much are you doing it? You know, it's a technique to get people to understand what they're eating is to keep a food diary. You know, I think, oh, I only eat, you know, 2,000 calories a day. And they keep the food diary and they realize it's 3,500. What would happen if we kept a prayer diary? Just, I'm thinking of this as a thought experiment. You don't necessarily have to do this, but it wouldn't hurt if you did. And at the end of the day, you say, okay, I watched so and so many hours of television. I read so many things from the internet. I spent this much time on my email. I spent this much time cooking. And I spent 5 minutes in prayer, 10, 15. That would be very instructional to see how little we pray. You must. You must pray and seek God's face, because what is happened in this gospel is what should be happening to you. The will of God should be manifest to you every day. It's a normal thing to know what God wants you to do and to feel it deeply. Thank God, despite my sins, this happens to me now. I feel deeply things. I think it's because of the grace of the priesthood. And I think it's finally time for me to start being a decent priest, I think God thinks. So start to feel things and know that this is the right thing to do. It is right to have an additional liturgy a week. It is right to pray in front of an abortion clinic. It is right to do prison ministry. None of those things I really decided to do. They just sort of happened. And I know they're right. Do you have things like that? You should. You should feel in control. Or I should say, not you in control. You should feel your life is a controlled life. That God is in control. And that you can know His will and find it. Now, not for all things, of course. Nobody knows everything. But when you don't know something, how do you feel? Are you full of anxiety? Do you get in bad behaviors because of depression over it? Or do you say, God will reveal to me. I will know. He will show me. It will work out to the good. Doesn't the scripture say that? All things work to the good. To those who know God and are called according to His purpose. Right? Do we believe it? We must. This is simple Christian living. Feeling the will of God and knowing that if you don't know it at this moment, God will reveal Himself to you. We sing it every time in Matins, don't we? God is the Lord and hath revealed Himself to us. That's speaking of the incarnation, but it's also speaking of the revelation in the human heart. Is God revealing Himself to you every day? Do you feel Him revealing Himself to you? If you don't, you got to do something. Don't just passively take it and say, well, you know, my life is hectic, confused. Don't do that. That's mediocre. God didn't want you to be mediocre. He wants you to know His will. And it shouldn't be like trudging up some hill and being exhausted all the time. It should be that God's will manifested it to you. So if you don't feel this, beg God to help you. Be praying. If you're not fasting, fast. If you fast poorly, fast a little better. If you don't go to church that much, go some more. If you're late to church, be on time. It's not rocket science. It is trying to do everything you can to know the will of God and to follow Him. And then there's peace in your heart. I love the scripture that we read for the martyrs from Wisdom. Their going forth from us seemed to be outer destruction. Or not outer, excuse, utter destruction. But they are in peace. And speaking of people who are being dismembered, flayed alive, burned, and they were at peace. Why? Because they knew the will of God. Because God was manifest in their hearts. That just doesn't just apply to whether or not you're being martyred or burned at the stake. That has to do with your daily life now. Are you at peace? You should be. Joseph and Mary were at peace. The Lord's, in a dream, said, leave Palestine, leave Jerusalem, because the child is at risk. Herod wants to kill him. Go to Egypt. So they did. And they spent time in Egypt, and eventually Herod died. They came back. Joseph was afraid. He thought, I don't know about living where we were because of Herod's son, Archelaus. So what happened? Another dream. And he was told to go to Nazareth and live there. So he did. God's will was made manifest. It's not just for the scriptures, you know. It's for real life. It's for your life and my life. That's the way things should happen. Now understand, I'm again giving this caveat. I'm not telling you seek God's will in dreams. Okay? That can make you crazy because that's a great way to be deluded. Seek God's will in the way you live your life. In your prayer, in your fasting, in your almsgiving, in your priorities, in the way you manage your time. Look at your time. If your time is such that you spend time in prayer, spend time reading, that you have a heart for people, that you're thinking of others, praying for others, then you're spending your time wisely. But if your time is filled with the secular hubbub of life, of course you're going to be confused. It doesn't matter if you come to church on Sunday, if you're living that kind of life. But if you come to church within the context of a life that is orderly and that is seeking God's face, then when you come to the temple and the Eucharist is given, you will be enlightened. There will be fire in your heart and will burn up everything that is evil and bad and will illuminate you and warm you. That's the normal life. This gospel is very powerful. Not that it has powerful theological statements. It's just about how we should live. This is how we should live. It shouldn't be this terrible struggle all the time. Yes, there should be struggle in your life. There should be pain in your life too, from seeing other people's pain and from feeling your own sins. But that should be in the context of God's will manifesting itself to you. And there should be peace, even though you're recognizing that you're a great sinner, perhaps even with sins that you have not been able to eradicate yet and that crop up all the time. But if you're feeling the will of God in your heart, there will be purpose in your life. That's what this gospel's about. Now, there's another thing that happens in this gospel that you must understand. Our Lord was born. Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Great joy. And then what happens? 10,000 infants are killed, murdered by an evil despot who cared only for himself. And Rachel was weeping for her children. Matthew says it quite brutally. It's a sad story. It's a terrible story. With our Lord's advent into the world, the evil one was stirred up. Terrible things happened. There's always temptation in the world. There's always bad things that happen. We can't let them dissuade us from our purpose. We can't let them confuse us. People who don't believe in God, or people who believe, say they believe in God but really don't really believe fully, they're confused by evil that happens in the world. We shouldn't be confused. Evil happens when people forget God. We ourselves forget God and we see evil in our life. Imagine if a person completely forgets God, what kind of evil would happen? It's not difficult to understand that. We shouldn't be afraid. With the Lord's coming, also evil came. When the Lord was baptized, what did he do? He went immediately into the wilderness for 40 days of struggle. Perhaps we would want to think, well, he's baptized and then he has, you know, 2 weeks of parties and congratulations and a little bit of rest. No. When we're baptized, that's the time when now we are enabled for battle. It's not time for resting. You got lots of time to rest when you're dead. Don't let the evil that happens in the world confuse you. That's outside of God. Worry more, or I should say, not worry, because I don't want you to worry. The Lord tells us not to worry. But concern yourself. Apply yourself to finding the will of God in your life. And if God's will is being manifest to you, then you'll know that you're on the right path. But if you're confused, if your life is very much in turmoil, if you're not praying much and you don't know how to and all these things are just kind of all topsy-turvy, then you'll know something's wrong. I've told you about all the things you can do. You know, I can tick them off again, but I think you know what they are. But none of them work unless there is purpose and desire in your heart. May it be that you have that kind of purpose and desire. Because the gospel is telling us this is the way to live. When you don't know something, God will reveal it to you. In His time, be patient, it'll happen. Now, I once heard from someone, I don't remember where it was, that all preaching is a person talking to himself. Good preaching. So I admit to you, I'm talking to myself here too. But there have been some things I've learned, and I want you to learn them too. God's will is manifest. He will tell you. You just have to listen. So let's listen. Let's put ourselves in a position of listening. And God will reveal His will to us. And all will be well. And we'll be at peace. May God help you to do this. Amen.